excitement you hear is Sunday Night Live from the Calvary Church. You may be seated, congregation, and thank you so very much. Well, it's a great privilege to be back on the air. We've been closely hit by a storm. No big damage here, but we've been praying for all of you in the Texas area, Galveston, Houston, Orange, Port Arthur, and then over in Baton Rouge in New Orleans for the first storm, Gustav, and then Ike has already passed. And I want to say thank all of you out there across the nation for your prayers, the scores of phone calls that have come in to wonder how we were doing. I appreciate it so very much. One afternoon, about all I did was just answer calls, and I'm so grateful for the concern of people. And we want you to get your Bible tonight when I preach, because you're going to follow me in the scripture. I'm going to preach on a special message tonight, and this is the 21st of September 2008, and we have several messages, but just one we're going to share with you tonight because of its length and its importance, from a friend of ours, one for whom we've offered many prayers, and I'm asking our mission director, Brother Schultz, to come and share the messages that have been given to our box and also to the email. Let's give Brother Schultz a good welcome to the Sunday Night Live microphone.
Praise the Lord, and thank you again, Brother Hicks. Praise the Lord, Internet congregation. We're so glad to be here again tonight on this one of the last weekends in September to bring the message throughout the world that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ, Isaiah 9:6 tells us He is God. Praise the Lord. I want you to listen to the message we received today. It's a rather lengthy one. It's the only message I'll be reading tonight, but it touches our heart, for we personally know this gentleman, and we're so thrilled to get this message. It reads, Pastor Hicks, I rate the message, The Club of Cain, as platinum. I too preached in the past with The Club of Cain. Now I realize that Jesus preached love and compassion. Thank you for that revelation to me. All of your messages I've heard for the past 33 years are all platinum messages. To all the debates, to the Texas tent revivals and camp meetings, thank you for the impact of the Acts 2:38 message that I received in 1975. In my life, you have always been an inspiration to me and my family. I always tell the people I meet about your website and the wisdom in your preaching. We will never forget you. God bless you and your staff in Jesus' name. Also, remember my dad who has cancer. If it be in the mind of God to spare his life, thank you again in Jesus' name. From Brother Granger. We're touched by that message. It has a greater impact than most people can realize.
Amen.
All right, we want you to continue to send your words of encouragement. Send us your messages so that we know you're listening to Sunday Night Live. Our only remuneration for doing this ministry, and Brother Hicks's only remuneration, is that which God provides and which we are inspired by hearing that God is using this work for His glory. The way we hear that is from the messages that you, our listening audience, the very family of God out there in internet country, respond to these messages, and it thrills our soul. It causes us to be inspired to continue on and on. You can contact us by writing to Calvary Church or Brother Marvin Hicks at Post Office Box 715 DeQuincy, Louisiana, 70633, or you can click on the internet at calvarysnl@aol.com and send us an email message. Thank you so much for being with us, and now we're going to give you the man of the hour, Brother Marvin Hicks.
My
story. We're going to tell that story again today. God bless you while you stand for the reading of the Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I charge thee, therefore, before God and our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Tonight, I want to speak on the subject, prescription preaching. Thank you, and you may be seated. Special attention should be given to the apostle's words when he said, I charge you, preach the word. Now, we all know what a prescription is. It's a written designation for a medical treatment. And in order to get the effect, you have to use it according to the instructions and direction. Now, by prescription preaching, I mean the proclamation of the Word of God, signed by the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. And in this, the commission set forth in our text to preach the Word is thus fulfilled and is effective in all generations from the day of Pentecost until now. Let me say it timely. Something happens to you when the Word of God is preached that doesn't happen to you any other way. No, sir. Not by singing, not by music, not by praying, not by shouting, not by praising. Invaluable though these may be, they do not take the place of the preaching of the Word of God. Let's give the Lord a hand praise for His Word tonight. First of all, I want you to consider this charge. It signifies a command. It's a verb filled with meaning. Numbers 9:19, Israel kept the charge of the Lord. Exodus 6:13, the Lord gave Moses and Aaron a charge. 1 Thessalonians 5:27, I charge thee that this epistle be read. And then 1 Timothy 1, 2 and 3, I charge thee that you teach this doctrine. Oh, what imperatives from God. When God calls a man to preach, then he goes forth. He doesn't preach what he wants to preach. He preaches according to the prescription that is written by his sponsor. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, if you choose the ministry as a profession, you can go to a theological seminary and learn how to do that. I'm not talking about those compromising guys. I'm talking about somebody that's been God called and has a message for this generation that's dying without God. And someday the very hand that swept us into God's grace will someday tell us, come on in. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you worthy of many. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. I tell you, the light of heaven is the face of Jesus. The joy of heaven is the presence of Jesus. The melody of heaven is the name of Jesus. The harmony of heaven is the praise of Jesus. The theme of heaven is the work of Jesus. The employment of heaven is the service of Jesus. And the eternity of heaven is that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in Jesus Christ. Not only now, but forever and forever, world without end, thank God, that's going to be our eternal reward in heaven, to be with Jesus because of the power of His Word. God, give us faith in prescription preaching. Now, the apostle gives us an example. This is the man who said, he said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he said, oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. Now, it's easy to quote the first part of that, but he also says the fellowship of His suffering. Consider the Apostle Paul's contribution to prescription preaching. Persecuted at Antioch, stoned in Lystra, assaulted in Iconium, beat with many stripes in Philippi, despised in Athens, blasphemed in Corinth, exposed to the wrath of the Ephesians and bound with chains in Jerusalem.
But oh, the glory of his testimony, abundant in labor, in stripes above measure, in praises often, in prisons often. 5 times I was given 39 stripes. I was beaten with rods, shipwrecked in peril of water, in peril of robbers, in perils of heathen, in perils of my own countrymen, hunger, cold, thirsty, naked. Why? For prescription preaching. Where is the example, Paul? There he stands, and there's the governor, Felix. It's Acts chapter 24, and he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and said, go thy way, get out of here. I'll call on you someday when I want to hear that again. That was prescription preaching. That's why the apostle went through this persecution. Look at Agrippa standing there, and the apostle, ill-formed arch-advocate of Christ, standing in the presence of that great man. And he preached to him about his testimony on the Damascus Road, how he was healed of his sight and filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says Agrippa trembled and said, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand the apostle gave us this charge to preach the gospel, and he practiced it. I'm telling you, it was 16 ounces to the pound. It was 36 inches to the yard. And his clock was set by God's clock. Hallelujah. He preached what God told him to preach. Where are the ministers today willing to do that, even at personal cost? Look at the content of the word we preach. Well, we have a problem in the ministry. We don't have an obligation to entertain anybody. We don't have any kind of a commitment to make you happy or sad. We have only one job. Jesus said that if I be lifted up, John 12:32, I will draw all men to me. You know, the people that don't like Sunday Night Live and wish it were Sunday Night Dead are the people that don't love Jesus. If you don't love Jesus, you're not going to enjoy this church, this ministry, this singing, no part of this church. But if you love the Lord, thank God, come and worship with us. Praise God and glorify His marvelous name. Every Sunday school teacher, every elder, every board member, everybody, we have only one obligation. And that is to come to church and lift up, not the preacher, not some deacon or elder, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you again, it's not about us, it's about Him. He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. God help us to not only preach it, but practice it. And then look at the need. All prescriptions are designated for a particular need. And so the doctor writes it. You go to the drugstore, and at your consternation of the price, you go ahead and buy the pills. But you see, the need is not to preach against people, but the sin that's in people. Let me explain what I'm saying. When the lawyer takes your case, and if you've ever had a legal problem, and walk through the doors and sit down by a lawyer and turn your case over to him, it's a marvelous relief to know you got somebody there that knows what he's talking about. And so there's an old saying, he who is his own lawyer has a fool for a client. Now, when you think of that, think about the lawyer in an office. You say, I got this problem. I'm being sued. I had a wreck and an accident, and they're suing me. They want me to go to prison. Now, what does the lawyer do? He goes to his bookshelf, and he picks out the one or two books that relate to your particular need. He doesn't give you all that he knows, all that he studied in law school. He only uses that part that is applicable to the particular need. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the condition of our day requires that preachers go to the Word of God and get the Word that can be applied to the need of this generation. Let's pray again. God, help us. In God we trust. They're trying to remove it as our national slogan. One nation under God from our Pledge of Allegiance. They're trying to take it away from us. Oh God, what a day we're living in. Lifeless churches, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Get heard in my lifetime. And the Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. The same-sex marriages are being promoted in this nation. And the Bible says clearly, let every man have his own wife. Not his own brother or sister. Not his own brother, but his own wife. Now, murder by abortion has killed hundreds of millions of unborn children. And the Bible says in Ezekiel 18:2, God said, those souls are mine. Those all souls belong to God. And the worship of images and idols are everywhere. And God said, thou shalt not make any graven image before thee and bow down to it. The prayer rooms are silent, and the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Evolution is being taught in schools, and the Bible says in Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God made man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Somebody say amen. Cults are plying their trade. Cults, the Jim Joneses, the David Koreshes, the Jeffs with polygamy, and all the problems of the Mormon church in this awful era of polygamy that has never been the plan of God for the New Testament. Restricted revivals. That's why we need prescription preaching. One night does it today. Maybe Wednesday through Sunday. Oh, how well I remember the 6-week revivals. I close a revival here in Louisiana Sunday and begin one in Phoenix, Arizona Monday night. And drive night and day. No nights off. Come on, those are the revivals that built these churches. Hear this preacher tonight. Discipline is being rejected in homes and in schools. Dry-eyed meetings are everywhere. Oh, the Bible said, weep between the porch and the altar. I'm telling you, if the days of dry-eyed revivals ever existed, they're over now. We've got to weep our way before God. And the dust is accumulating on the Bible while you spend your time reading so much other trash. I don't have time to read the Bible because I've got to watch television. I've got to read this magazine, this novel. What about the Bible? Get the dust off of it. It's our only hope. The Word of God is the only hope for this generation. Oh, the gospel music is being violated in the churches. We need prescription preaching. Oh, God. Rock and roll has come in to please the young people and has destroyed the worship spirit of the church and substituted with a hip swinging and the styles of immodesty is taking place all over the world and many of them coming into church. I admire Dr. Rogers of the Belmont Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee before he died. He told his congregation, dress modestly. I'm sick and tired of you coming to church with gownless evening straps. Well, you'll get that on the way out. But the church somehow has to be locked today. We need prescription preaching. It's a sad thing when people will come in and steal from the house of God. But we have to lock the doors. That's sad. And the pulpit message is watered down. And you're saved with a drop, or baptized with a drop and saved with a grunt. This is the day when the Bible is being summoned before the bar of human justice and reason. And the wings of faith are being clipped by human logic. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And we got to preach it if we're going to have results. I'm preaching prescription preaching. I remember in Ezekiel 37, I got blessed today. God showed the prophet a valley full of dry bones. And Ezekiel said, can these bones live again? God said, you got the word. Just prophesy on. And the man of God stood up there. Oh, I preached to some dead audiences, but not quite that bad. And one preacher said he went to a church and he told the pastor, said, I'm surprised. Your church is going to be the first in the rapture. Well, he said, how do you figure that? He said, well, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And you guys are going out first because all of your dead is a mackerel. Oh, God. Ezekiel said, God, can these bones live again? He said, you got the word. And I can hear my old dad right now with that guitar. Enjoys him banging it up and down. And he'd sing that song. You dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Stand upon your feet. His goodness to repeat. Lay aside your dry profession. Get a Holy Ghost possession. You've been bleaching in the valley long enough. My God, help us tonight to get alive. And the bones stood up. All of them came together. He said, well, that's nothing, Lord. They can't do anything. Just bones. God said, you got the word? Command flesh and sinew to come upon them. And when he prescribed the word for the particular need, the bones came together. And there was a great army. Somebody say amen. Now, I'm telling you, there was a situation in South Houston where the preacher walked up to preach and the acrylic pulpit was split right in two in the middle. One side lay down there and one other. They sent it to the factory and they said it had to be some kind of a miraculous thing that did it. But the preachers misinterpreted what they said, and what they were teaching is that we don't need preaching anymore. We need to jig and run and shout and stomp and holler. And that church went 6 months without a sermon from the pulpit because of that. They missed the meaning altogether. You never can replace the Word of God with a fleshly demonstration. Say that again, preacher. Praise God. And I'm telling you, you've got to have prescription preaching. So the apostle said, preach the Word. Be instant in season. No, it didn't say and out of season. It said be instant in season, out of season. When it's not even season, you get in season. The Word of God can be preached anytime, any place. I've been condemned. I've been criticized. I've been censured all of these 63 years for preaching the gospel in some places, including worldwide television. I believe a man that has a message from God ought to preach it anywhere God sends him. You may not like the place where he has to go to preach it, but if the iron horse here in De Quincey had a man lying on the floor tonight, saying, send for Brother Hicks, I'm dying of a stroke or aneurysm or heart attack, you'd have to put up with your pastor going to the Iron Horse Pub tonight. I'd walk in there and I'd get on my knees and I'd pray right there around the whiskey. I don't care who it is, where it is. If it's the Word of God, it can be instant in season, out of season. You don't have to have the approval of people to preach the Word of God. So we have to have the Word. Now I'm closing. But now, there's a scripture that I want to bring to your mind as we close the broadcast tonight. Prescription means, if I understand it right, take these tablets according to the directions. Everybody say amen. Take these tablets according to the directions. So there was a need one day, Brother Shields, Brother Armstrong. What happened? The Holy Ghost fell. People began to speak in tongues. Magnify God. Men were fearful and they cried out to the Apostle Peter, who had been given the keys to the kingdom in Matthew 16. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Write us a prescription. The Apostle Peter spoke, repent ye. Every one of you, and be baptized, immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, why are you saying that, Pastor Hicks? Go now, tonight. Call him on the phone. Your pastor. Say, Pastor, if I were a sinner, and I came to your church, and I wanted to be saved, and I screamed aloud to you tonight, what must I do? What would you say, Pastor? Ladies and gentlemen, throughout the world, if that preacher gives you any other instruction but Acts 2:38, he has thrown the prescription in the trash can and invented his own. That's not about right. That is right. And so many refuse the prescription. I'm telling you, the Word of God will abide forever. I like that verse in Mark 13:31. Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. I like the dear old lady said, I'd rather be standing on the Word of God than being in heaven. Because heaven may go. Of course, that verse means the celestial heaven. It doesn't mean the heaven we're going to. Let me tell you something. Earth is powerful. But volcanoes stewing, earth quaking, hurricanes sweeping, Niagara Falls plummeting, lightning striking, all of that will pass away. But the Word of God will abide forever. My Lord and my God, after your photograph has faded, after your garments have been moth-eaten, and your grave has sunk to the level of the ground, the Word of God will still be rich and powerful, for the Word of God is eternal in the heavens. Oh, Reverend Sir, I'm closing Sunday Night Live by telling you theological prodigals and apostles of apostasy, we don't want your platitudes and homiletics and hermeneutics. We want the plain, simple preaching of the Word of God under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Let's stand and give God a praise. I see millions of you out there in the darkened heathen lands. You would be willing tonight. You'd be willing to accept the prescription if it's signed by the name and the blood of Jesus Christ.
We appreciate you clicking on to Sunday Night Live, an international broadcast ministry that's on the air 24/7. This broadcast service features the ministry of Pastor Marvin Hicks and comes to you each week from the Calvary Church in De Quincy, Louisiana. Now, when you visit our church here, you'll find a warm welcome and a spiritual atmosphere. And now this is Jim Armstrong speaking for all the wonderful people who make Calvary their church home, asking God to especially bless you this week. Because we know God loves you, and we do too.
I have to say this. Some of you have not got it yet. You are standing where you are now because of the preaching of the Word of God. It may have been a brush arbor under a tent, but God touched you through the Word. We've had concerts here with the greatest singers in the world. But do you know you can have a packed house, songs and people clapping their hands, but you walk out that door without preaching? There's something missing. I'm not saying this because I'm a preacher. I'm diagnosing our situation. We've got to have the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, thank you that you helped.